Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings be upon you, and may Allah guide us and forgive us our sins. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to El Islam-based conversations. We are a sort of a new kid on the block, I would say. It's been a minute since we've had a program, and we're looking forward to this, the inaugural program that we had 3 weeks ago, and we're moving ahead with it and see if we can get some people involved and showing an interest. I'd like to start out by saying my particular mantra or what I try to offer in terms of an invitation is that you're in a space now where we're trying to further one's awareness of education, speaking from truth that we know to be truth and from a book that we know to contain truth. But the promise that we make is that we're not going to waste your time or insult your intelligence, and that's an incentive. That's a goal. That's what gets me excited about Monday, because I'm given an opportunity to do something that I think will make a difference, and I'm hoping that you will join me on this journey as we move forward and try to get the things in place to improve our life. And also, if we don't have the full control, get control back of our lives in a way that we haven't had maybe at any particular time. Maybe we had it and lost it. Maybe we never have had it. Whatever the case is, you will definitely feel the difference, know the difference, and be able to share with others this difference. And that's what this is really all about for me, to make a difference and know that it's a process. You can't rush the process. You must trust the process. And that's sometimes very challenging to do, because in order to do those things or do that thing, you have to have patience. And you have to have a sense of belief that tells you you're going to get the right results. You're going to get the results that you're looking for. You're going to be able to overcome the obstacles. You're going to be able to clearly define your life, learn what you need to do, and then begin to do it. All of this that sounds so easy to say will eventually become easy to do. That's the goal, really, to gain the ability to do what you know is right, what you know is beneficial, what you know has helped you. And you know, because we're human beings, and what is good for one human being is also good for another human being, and that's the way the process works. If I get something and I share it with somebody else, then there comes the benefit. See? And also, if I share it with someone else and it benefits them and then they share it, now we're talking blessings. But what has happened in that transaction? What has happened in that transaction is that a power greater than us is taking over the transaction. So it's not me that's converting or convincing or educating the person. It's the message that's being spoken that's educating the person and giving them the ability to go and repeat the process. And you know, the thing that familiar with, because it's missing in the world today, the world of man. I think if you go to the right places and talk to the right people, then you'll find that it's not totally gone, but the masses are out of touch. And we, on a daily basis, monthly basis, yearly basis, we have been misinformed about so much about life. So when it comes to really enjoying life, understanding life, having the ability to have our lives and our control our lives, to know what it is, to keep your eye on the prize, and you move in the direction that you know you should be moving in, and you start beginning to see that you can give yourself a permission slip that you couldn't give it before. You and I might have been settling for this thing. My good friend and fellow wordologist, I guess that's the word that's most popular and understood, deals with marriage. And he tries to bring the level of our understanding of some of the values and benefits and problem solvers that it does. Marriage solves the problem for the single person. It's a problem to be, have everything in your nature, everything in your being, suggesting and almost insisting that you find a mate and get married. And there were some names back in the day, you know, if you didn't get married. But to bring it full circle and bring it to the modern day times, there's just some benefits and blessings you can't get being single. Now, I'm not saying rush out and marry somebody just so you can say you married. No, I'm talking about marriage in its ideal state. You know, all the unconditional love, all the, you know, you got me walking on whatever, you know, I'm on cloud nine, all of that. I'm not talking about the TV marriage. I'm talking about the marriage that's ordained by the Creator for us as human beings. The wealth that you receive when you're on one accord, when you're compatible, when you have convictions and you make contracts that you want to live up to, and you take vows that you want to keep, and then you begin to see the blessing that comes, because you can compare and contrast. Yesterday I was single. Today I'm married, and that marriage has become fruitful and beneficial, and we've come to know each other, and then we can start talking about this thing called love, blurred by something that came that's misinforming us about how much love marriage is supposed to do and how much value love is in that marriage. So this is not going to be a marriage conference, but I'm just really, really hoping that we can get excited about the other marriage that takes place between us and as human beings. As we begin to get like-minded and like-spirited people together, it's almost the same as a marriage. When we start to have verbal intercourse, we start to have the birthing of certain mindsets that go out into the world and correct some of the wrongs and make them right. Correct some of the unrighteousness and make it righteous. Correct some of the lies and replace them with the truth. Because one of the things that we might be suffering from, reason the world is in the dark, reason the world is having so many problems, reason we're having personal problems, maybe we haven't seen the truth in so long, we don't know what it looks like. That's a thought. I'm pausing for a reason. I want that to kind of settle in. If the truth, and this is a question, it's a metaphysical question in its origin, if the truth showed up today, would you be able to recognize it? Because we've been lied too much too. We've been told half-truths. We've been filled with a bunch of nonsense from the media that make us have false expectations when it comes to the truth. And we go back to the same thing when it comes to being married or when it comes to just having one definition of marriage. And that's all we know. And that's all we trust in. And that's all we go forward with. And we can pronounce it to the people. I'm married, okay? Is there anything that makes you think that it's going to be a lasting marriage and a wholesome marriage and a beneficial marriage and a lot of the things that we have inside of us as human beings? The female brings it out and then the male brings it out because that's a part of marriage. It's a yin and yang type of thing. And when we invite it in, other than this romantic, you know, we leave the planet and we go somewhere in the sky, you know, we always happy, always laughing, you know, take out the fact that marriage is work. There's no other way to say it. You have to work to get married. You have to work to stay married. You have to work to leave a legacy with your marriage that will make a contribution to others who want to get married, to others who are giving up on marriage, and on and on. So what happens? You become a living example of what it feels like, tastes like, smells like to be married. People begin to ask you, what's the secret? There's one or two words that will come out. And first of all, the words, it's no secret. It's just that so many people have bought the hype and they're applying themselves wrong and they're not getting the results. And so they're dissatisfied with marriage. But marriage didn't do that. Marriage accepted the invitation that you gave it to come and be a part of your life. That you didn't know other than what you had seen on TV and what you thought it was going to be. And then when it didn't turn out that way, you blame the person that you married. It's a two-way street, you see? So we that shouldn't happen. But it happens. It's happening right now. Somebody is getting out of a marriage, and they're playing the blame game all the way to the lawyer's office. Or to their friend's office, or to the people in the community that they want to tell how terrible it was being married to so-and-so, or being married to sister so-and-so. And the question that should come up, could this marriage be reconciled, reset, you see, or was it definitely doomed and we had to do the divorce? And the same thing goes, like you said before, if you're dealing with what you believe to be an ideal situation, Muslims in the Islam, Christians for Christianity, Jews in Judaism, there's a marriage that takes place when you take your oath and declare to the world, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm Jewish. And in the heart of, in your heart of hearts, you believe in the Creator, that there's a God, and that God is going to guide your life, provide guidance for your life to get you that full, well-ordered life that's promised in Scripture. Know ye the truth, and the truth alone will set you free. That's almost a challenge. So that it also identifies that if you're having problems, strong possibility you don't have access to truth. You have access to something you're calling the truth, and obviously it's not delivering the goods that it should, so it's obviously either not the truth, it's a half-truth, or it could be just an out-out lie. Someone lied on God. Someone lied to you about God to the point to where you now have more than one God. And God has to come and reestablish in the society and in the cultures to people, no, my oneness has to be kept. In order for you to get truth and reality in your life so you can have a life that's been ordained and defined and beneficial since man has been on this planet. That statement alone should get you excited about having that kind of conversation. Because what it suggests also is going to be chaos and divorce and people walking away from their belief system until that gets addressed. People can get comfortable with saying, I have God in my life. I go to a building. We have services. We worship this unseen entity called God, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever. And I can see the benefit is in my life. I can see skills and tools that I didn't have before, and now I do. I can make prayers, and I really know what that prayer is saying, so I can apply it in so many various ways that it can be applied. One of the prayers that has followed me and a young man, along with the Lord's Prayer, I mean, there was in any good Christian home at that particular time when I was born, is what you said in at night when you went to bed. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray my Lord my soul to take. Very basic, elementary, and in the Lord's Prayer, you know. But later on, as I got older, and I began to realize that was a foundational prayer, the one that I mentioned a while ago. But there's another one that moves us or can move us to adapt a prayer that's similar to the one I just mentioned, but it has more of a empowering factor. That was more asking, you know, if something, for God forbid that I don't awake, take me to that station with you that I hope I've earned. But this one is one that where we're dealing with our limited skills, and we want to shed some light on that. And it's a prayer, it's a process that gives us ability. And when you hear it, which is what I'm going to say it, you'll know why I say what I just said. And it's, God grant me, or God bless me with the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So this is us reaching out, making a request of the Creator. Why can we make it? Because we know we run out of abilities to do this, to handle this. This needs to come from a divine source. At least I get frustrated. I get angry. I begin to want to do things, or I'm thinking about things that I didn't think about before. I'm beginning to doubt power of God. I believe there is a God, but I don't know if I believe in that God. And just that one little word, just like these few words in here, can and cannot, they make a difference. Believing in God and believing there is a God. When you believe in God, then you're going to worship that God. You're going to be paying attention and have an interest in what he has to say to you, because that's what's going to instruct you and I, inspire you and I, empower you and I, to get on with this thing called life. Having it absent, you're going to be in the dark about things, and life is going to look like it's doing stuff that you can't handle, you can't control. And you start thinking, maybe I'm not lucky. Maybe I'm not doing something right, because I seem not to be blessed. I seem to be cursed. And I seem to get out of one situation and fall back in another situation. Used to call it from the skillet to the frying pan. And I want to break that cycle. This is what this prayer says and does. Let's look at the words. God bless me means I must not have it. With the serenity, specifically saying what I want, what I think will be beneficial. Serenity, calm, peaceful, and untroubled. Now, that's just tip of the iceberg. But it's a state of mind, and it's a state that your spirit is in that's relaxed, that believes, that has the strength to go forward and risk failing and risk other people saying, I told you so, but your belief won't let you take it all the way to the end. I've got the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And just you fill in that blank. What's a qualifying thing that we cannot change? And we need to accept it. Just a little humor. I mean, I had hopes of playing basketball on a professional level. 5'9", 133 pounds soaking wet. And now I'm 5'9", 135 pounds or 38, whatever I gained on it. It ain't too much. X amount of years old. Didn't go to college. Didn't play high school. Didn't do any of that. So not even trained enough to really do all the stuff that needs to be done. And then you add the age. So that's, I have to accept that window is closed. Now, do I feel like a failure? Do I, oh my God, I couldn't. No. What I have, a dose of reality. You have to take a dose of reality every now and then to what? Stay in touch with reality. And then you won't be crying the blues, singing the blues about something that you couldn't change. It wasn't, as they might think, you say, wasn't written. But more and better said, it's not. It wasn't your purpose. It wasn't what you were going to get as a livelihood to move forward. Maybe because that would have took you off track more than you can realize. A lot of people say success destroys people. No. The inability to handle success destroys people and causes people to go bankrupt. Not in money. They still got money. That's why they're such a big, you know what? So sometimes they think, or they say money is the root of all evil. It wasn't the money. Money is just a paper. It's currency. Its value fluctuates. It goes up and down or whatever. The things that it can't buy are greater than the things that it can buy. The things that it can't buy are greater than the things that it can buy. One of those things is happiness. Other than one of those things is you can't buy people's love with it. People are doing it right now as we talk. Somebody is telling somebody else in their family or their wife or their husband, I bought you this because I love you. And I hope you love me too. How about being the best husband you can be, the best father you can be, the best mother you can be, the best parents you can be, and have a sense of what God says we should do when we meet our mate and we start our family. There's some specific instructions that we get, and if we apply them, we'll be married happily ever after. Because what? We got the right process, the right knowledge, and applied it on a level that's no longer knowledge. It's wisdom, because it's coming from a divine source. So it's now manifesting itself exponentially. What does that mean? Broader and deeper than it was before. Which means what? It's somewhat endless. Just when you thought you couldn't get any better, just when you thought this thing couldn't get any sweeter, just when you thought it couldn't feel any better being married to this one person and having said now, well, this is our X amount of years anniversary. I think now of how great a decision this was. Three children later, X amount of years later, So what is the marriage doing? The marriage is doing what a healthy marriage does. It return on your investment. That's what it's doing, giving us a return on the investment. You invested your time, energy, and in the marriage to keep it whole and wholesome. And now it's returning, and you now know, and others know, it was a good investment. But like I said before, it's work. And a lot of people think it shouldn't have to be. So they don't want to do the work. So they don't get the kind of marriage that I'm talking about. And they don't think it exists. I did this and I did that and he didn't, she didn't. No. Strong possibility that both parties could have been wrong. And you go to somebody who can help you sort out the thing, go to your neutral corner and see what might have went wrong. See? But there's another word that rhymes with wrong that has to come into play. You have to be grown up, mature, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and accept our part, our role that we play. Don't try to fix the other person. Fix yourself. Listen to what might be recommended, whether it's the counselor, whether it's your wife might say or your husband might say, you always do this, and you never do this. One of the big ones, and it goes off into the workplace, and it goes wherever you go. Everywhere you go, there you are. It's not about us. This thing called life is not about us. It's bigger than us. And the role that we play in it shouldn't be a dominant force. It shouldn't be a controlling force. Whenever a conversation starts, you take up the conversation and you finish it with your story, which is interesting to you, but it may not interest other people just yet, or maybe not at all. Maybe they can't relate to it. People that come together, they like each other because they're like each other. They don't like each other because they're not like each other. It's not a crime. You know, everybody we get together with, we're not going to greet and meet and greet and sing Kumbaya. It's not necessary. You don't have to like everybody, and everybody don't have to like you. And there's a good chance it's not. And there's another thing that we do way too much. We worried about other people. They're not worried about you. They're not thinking about us. They're too busy thinking about themselves now. Especially since the media, selfie that you can take. This little smartphone that we hold in our hands, and we text and we walk and we talk and we stay on daily. And it misinforms us about so many things. While making us believe it's a godsend. And it does. It has mass appeal by design. And I ask you to ask yourself, do you want to give that much of your power over to a mechanical thing invented by a man who may not have had your best interest at heart, might not have been thinking about your well-being? Simply believe in the consumer process that we have in here, the marketplace of ideas that we have in here. They went to work with their fellow scientists, and they came up with this thing called cell phone. And it's been a journey. If you go back, you see where it has been coming in. Dude, we got it now. Can't live without it. I beg to differ. You might get the life that you haven't gotten without it. Now, I'm not against the cell phone. I'm using one right now. They have tremendous value and benefit in the world. But also, they rob us of our focus. And I put us on a diet that's not healthy. See? Because wherever interest goes, energy flows. So just take a little survey of the amount of time you spend on your phone and what you're doing when you're on your phone. And then how many times do you get called on your phone and you find out there's nothing, this is small talk or whatever. And we got all these passwords and usernames and getting this, and they're telling us now to do this and do that, go paperless. And one of the words that they're using, which is what we've been talking about this whole time, is are you or do you want to manage your affairs? New language. I don't know if you've seen it. I mean, you've seen it, but if you resonated with that, where did that come from? That came from them copying God's way and implementing it like it was their way. We're going to do you a favor. We're going to let you go paperless. And we're going to put you in charge of your own affairs. You can tell us this and you tell us that. And do, 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 do. All we're going to do is have your money. But you give us your money because we have your best interest at heart. We are going to get you a retirement and a trip and a vacation and all that. Not so. Because if you haven't figured that out for yourself, them letting you manage your money means they're going to fill your head with whatever they tell you the next latest and greatest thing is, and you're going to jump on it like, wow, like white on rice. And I'm seeing you, but it's we. They got a program for us. They've designed it, and it has nothing to do with enhancing your wealth if you don't have the mind that tells you how to enhance your wealth. The mere fact that we have to let someone else develop a program to get us to manage our money, and we weren't, what were we doing before the program? Mismanaging our money. That's what we were doing. We were mismanaging our money because we had been misinformed about the role that money's supposed to play. It, money should not be a decision-making factor as much as it is. I wish I could buy it, but I don't have the money. So what do you have? You have to get up to whatever you want to buy, make it affordable, make it something that you really need, and then pursue it like you should. Key things that I said in the beginning there, affordable lifestyle. That's so important that you define what an affordable lifestyle is, not them. We look at your score. We look at your money. We look at your history, and we think we can do A, B, C, D. We can give you some of our money and let you pay us back at an interest rate and do all this wonderful things. And we think we can get you, because of what we looked at and on your paperwork, we think we can get you X amount of dollars right now. 3 months ago, I went to the bank and got the X amount of dollars within an hour. Now, you can have your mind blown away if you want to. If I didn't use it the way I did use it, with the wisdom that I used it with, praise be to Allah, then I would have just been in debt. And I learned, like the prayer of serenity, get out of debt by getting in debt. If you consolidate your debt, so you can get in more debt. You didn't get out of debt. You consolidated the loan. You paid it off. And then you went out there and got in more debt. And you didn't see it coming because they told you, come in and get a loan. Put all your debt on one thing you've consolidated. Pay one fee every month to, you know, which you've consolidated again. And then what? Where's the next step you're supposed to take? You're waiting on them to give it to you. Now we have some nice investments over here you can make. Let me let you talk to do. But the investment that you should make, if you're wise, is to become literate about your economic situation. Just like you know the back of your hand. And you make decisions on what your financial future is going to look like and how you're going to get an affordable lifestyle. That's what we just read here. God, grant me the serenity, or bless me with the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can. You can change. We can change our economic future at any time we get ready, when we stop relying on other people to control our economic future. That's the problem. Many people haven't separated their wants from their needs, and they're buying stuff because they can. You got nothing to do with it or wanting to need. And nothing to do with whether that money can be earmarked for something very significant, like maybe an unexpected emergency, or whether something that needs to be done, a repair, in the house and on the car at the same time. You know, I'm talking thousands of dollars. You know, where's the money going to come from? Because you have a fund that deals with rainy days or disasters or what do you want to call it? But what you have is the self-restraint not to use it for anything other than what it's earmarked for. And believe me, that's what's missing in corporate America. They want to get on top, stay on top, and they spend their money to do that, and they don't spend it wisely. They don't listen to the Warren Buffett of the world. You can't tell the difference between Warren Buffett now and Warren Buffett then. Same meal, same approach, one of the most richest men in the world. But he don't look like it because he ain't trying to look rich. When you try to look rich, you won't get wealthy. You have negated your ability to get wealthy because you're trying to get rich. What does that mean? You're making money decisions. You're getting all this money because you find out that they'll pay you all this money. So you charge it. You don't qualify yourself. So you can charge it if necessary because you're giving them that money and the scale says you should get a certain kind of money in return. And I'm making this point about corporate and business and transactions because that's the way life is. If you invest in yourself, you will attract certain people, husbands, wives, friends, family. See? And you'll be able to understand, like we have to understand that a weak friend is worth than the up close and personal. They have advice and rhetoric and suggestions and beliefs that I have made, that are full of emotion. And a lot of times the community out there is, you know, still drinking the intoxicants and whatnot. That was an intoxicant fuel thought. But that's what comes out of the conversations. While we're sitting at the table or while we're watching the game or while we're doing whatever, we think we're on top of the world. And you get together as friends and come up with a venture, and we don't realize until 3 years later, it wasn't a good idea. And that is not only just true about, you know, dreams and ventures and whatnot. It's true about our lives. They get out of divorce for strangest reasons, but they never even considered what having three children was going to be like. If it's not planned, and really support and unity on the part of the people, and you just got pregnant because you were having sex, when the child comes or the children come, there's a different level you got to take it to. The parents of three children in these times, people think you got to have a lot of money, man, to raise them children. No, affordable lifestyle. Okay. A lifestyle that suggests now you are parents for three children. And everything that they're going to be needing, you're going to have to supply it. And you don't have to go into the panic mode and, whoo, had me in school. Yes. The bigger the project, the bigger the person has to be to fulfill the project. I ain't talking about 6'2 and 215 and you're only 5'9 and 133 like I was. I am. You have to think big enough, long enough, and be consistent enough to see down the road. Okay, by the time that child gets or these children get A, B, C, D, I need to have X, Y, Z in place. So I can't get distracted by this, that, and the other, and I also have to take care of my health so it doesn't fail me when I need it the most. And I have to surround myself with people who are either doing what I'm trying to do, have done what I'm trying to do, you see. And you can still keep the good old buddy, friendly buddy, come around buddy, talk buddy, go fishing buddy, whatever. But we need to surround ourselves. If we got any desire and aspirations to succeed at this thing called life, we got to do that. And it's one of the most difficult things to do when we just get emotionally attached and we don't take life serious. It's a serious thing. And I don't know what all these theories out here, you keep coming back until you get it right. I don't know. Tells me. One and you're done. So what does that mean? You need to get it done. You need to, don't waste time. Be a person that knows the value of time. And realize that whereas the Creator is not concerned with time, we are relegated by time. It's going to be tomorrow in you know, so many hours from now. And if we're not doing what we needed to do today, then our tomorrow isn't going to look like it should look. You know, this is a word that was in our vocabulary. When I say our vocabulary, the average, obviously, person, maybe probably more urban than not, you can't play catch up. Now, I don't know if that's ketchup like in the bottle or ketchup like C-A-T-C-H, but whatever it is, you can't play it. Yesterday is gone forever. Opportunity that there was, or whatever was on the table yesterday is not on the table anymore. So if you didn't jump on it, or you didn't move on it, or you didn't do like you promised, like Ramadan's coming up. Are you getting ready? Are you prepping yourself? Are you going to maybe do a couple of days of fasting before actually a couple of prayers in the morning, early morning prayers? Because the one thought that I'm saying is the same thing we've been trying to hit on or bring home is about this thing called life. Your life, our life will be enhanced. That's what Ramadan is for. Countless, endless blessings can be gotten during the month of Ramadan. How do we know that? Allah says that. Read the literature about Ramadan from someone who's not talking about fast and then feast. Made it into not eating food and then eating, you know, and having, doing everything after the sun goes down. It is way more than that. But it won't get birthed, it won't get an interaction with it, because we say, I'm good, I got my little, this is number X for me. I mean, I've been fasting for I've been had the health, I don't have to, you know, feed somebody. I can actually do the thing, the whole days, you know, I go to fast, I get sick, I make up day, whatever. I know about Ramadan. When you get in the presence of somebody who knows some of the things about Ramadan that we just don't know. And I'm telling you, there are things about our religion, or just religion in general. I think everybody, if they're really truthful with themselves, if they're really in on religion, Jew, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, whatever, they're not even close to getting what was intended by that religion. Because what? Why am I saying that? We're not dealing with man. This is not man's thing. So it's not going to be flaws and, you know, trial and error, and halfway down the thing it's manifested, it's not going to do this, or it's not going to do it like they said it was going to do it. Ramadan delivers on everything it says it's going to do, and then some. So we have to open up our mind a little bit and recognize, maybe I'm missing it, but I'm just trying to be a good Muslim and do. There's other blessings to be gotten. boldly step out there and say to yourself, not necessarily in the presence of others, say to yourself, make the dua in the prayer, Allah, bless this to be my best Ramadan. Because what? It may be my last. So what happens when this happens? I start thinking different than I did before. And blessed if it's not my last or not our last, but rewarded if it acted, we acted like it might be our last and we got all of the blessings like that because we approached it like that. It wasn't something, it's not something that we were doing and people go, oh, I wish I could do that. You're fasting. Total abstention. Oh, my God. No. That's just the introduction to the ritual or to the month. Now you start understanding what it will give you if you step up quest. God, grant me. Bless me with the serenity. Bless me with the drive, the energy, the wisdom to show me what can be gotten from the month of Ramadan and help me to get it, benefit from it, and then be a blessing to others as a result of it. Well, whatever it was that's needed in the community, because my Ramadan was so good, I'm ready to help establish that. Whatever was needed in my marriage, whatever was needed in my life, because of my Ramadan, I'm ready to establish that with the consistency, with the sincerity that I haven't showed before. I threatened to do it before, but this time it's the real deal. And I'm not going to necessarily publicize it. I'm going to act on it. And that way it gets publicized. And that can become the spirit that moves us whenever we decide to do a thing. First of all, it's an executive decision. What do I mean executive decision? I mean, it's well thought out. We didn't let other things get in the way. Well, yeah, but it didn't come up. I've been saying it. I've been falling short. Really let Ramadan, which it says in the English, it's prescribed. And it's not new. I prescribed it before. What should that tell us? This is something that transcends time. It's still around and it's still the best thing to get A, B, C, and D. And not only is it evolves with the time. It got you this back in the day. But that's been evolved, and now it gets you this. The rewards and the blessings that come with Ramadan now are greater than they were with the other people prior to Ramadan. I mean, let's say 1,400 years ago. It's moved forward, and it's still a joyous occasion in the religion. People are different. They behave different. The prayers, the whole month, and then the 10 days of this, and the 10 days of that, and the 10 days of that. The emphasis and the abundance of knowledge. You know, there's going to be the annual affair that study El-Islam, and everybody's just rolling out of something that you can benefit from, you can get a blessing from, you can get a better understanding from. So what happens when this happens? Life changes. Our life literally and figuratively changes. So who wouldn't want to get that blessing, but not just want it because it would be nice to have it or you could tell people, no, it's available. All I have to do is qualify myself and step up in a way with some consistency, with some commitment, and surround myself with other people who might want to do the same thing. Bingo. I remember, dear beloved in me, Allah, forgive me, sins and grant me paradise, you know, Kazem said. He said, you know, it might be a good idea when you're trying to get this Arabic if you get a study buddy. What does that mean? When they don't feel like studying, you do. When you don't feel like studying, they do. So what happens to studying? It gets to be the thing that we do. We make it a part of our routine. And we utilize this thing called study buddy to leverage the consistency that we need. They're just as committed as I am. Their commitment shows up and you getting weak or you want to take a day off or you come to a part that's kind of sticking as hard as it's the whatever and you it's just gives you a headache almost trying to get it. But you and your friend agree it's so worth it. And you do it. And you do it in the month of Ramadan. And you do it in the next Ramadan. Where are we going to be? We're going to be with the exponential growth that we talked about earlier. And then now when you go out to do da'wah, people are not only going to hear it, they're going to see it. They're going to see that you believe in this and you come out and risk, you know, whatever feedback or whatever, well, attitude that people might have. Can see one thing that it may not be for me, but it definitely seems to be there for you. And that's the way it'll look if what I just said is true. But we have to get some things done before we can say it's true. We have to give ourselves the permission slip before we can do. We have to stop settling and recognize that we are settling. We have to understand another thing that I think that's very important that, I don't know, I came upon it and I just can't and I won't and I don't let it go is the Quran is speaking, or just scripture in general, ideally the way things should be. The possibility thinking that's necessary to make things predictable. Is that something that we want to get? You know, is that something that's going to make life easier? Comes with an attitude, a spirit. And when that spirit comes to us, we do what the prayer says. And that is have the courage. So when you have courage, what have you involved? The heart. And the religion was revealed upon the heart, not the head. So now we have a greater value for the heart, which is a little below the head. You got the head right here, centrally located, all these things, four of the senses. Seven of the intricate ways that you can get access to these things called knowledge, and you see the world through that. But you got to have a lens that will, or say, corrective lens, halal lens, you know. You don't want to take everything in. You want to be able to filter. Because some of it's not going to be good for the heart. It's not going to make the heart healthy. It's not going to be beneficial. Like we just got through talking about Ramadan. But if we don't begin to visualize it like that, and we let someone sell us to overvalue the role that the head plays, it is what it is, and it is one of the greatest resources that we have. But there's some things that it doesn't possess. I think Michael Jordan was saying it very pleased. He answered it very good. He said, I choose a man's heart over talent all day, every day. And if you look at some of the talented players out there, but they got a attitude, they got self-esteem problems, they got ego issues. And so the benefit that they should be getting from the game and the contribution they should be making to the game, it ain't happening. And someone saw their talent, gave them this money. Now between that and the press and the critics telling them you got a reward, you rookie of the year, you're the most improved player, whatever, get X amount of dollars. And it all went to their head. See? They did a little bit with their heart to do this for the mama and they got the car and then the rest of us. People go crazy now. You see your name in lights. You hear the crowd chanting you. Everywhere you go, they want to talk to you, get autographs. They want to do. So what's happening? Unnecessary attention believes something about ourselves that's not true. And we enter into the status of celebrity and superstar and all these names that are iconic. When we look at the people who really contribute to the game, it's a track record. It's a focus, and you maintained it throughout the game, and money didn't change you. Like it can. If we came from a low income and we into a high income, and things that we used to just dream about are not accessible for us to buy, it's going to change us. We're making all these likes and comments about these people who are wealthy or rich. Even though they just got rich or whatever, or they seem to be accessible, you can't relate to those people. We can't relate to them. You don't know what mind it takes to step out there and do whatever. And then some of the stuff, it does cause you to lose your dignity. People will approach you with propositions that if we give you this, will you do that? And if we're not used to saying there are certain things that I just won't do because I don't want to lose my dignity. It has a value. And once I lose it, I'm fair game because in order to lose it, I got to become weak about certain things. And I got to rationalize my behavior. There's the word right there. You tell yourself rational lies. And one of the biggest ones is that if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. Rather than saying, if it costs me my dignity, it's not worth it. Thing is worth me losing or selling my dignity or ignoring my moral systems to say, if you put it in my account, I'll take it off or I'll do this or I'll do that. It's going back to what we talked about before. Money is making the decision, not you. Centrally located, above everything else. But as you go down, everything else goes down to where it's what? Below the belt. But yet still, it's making the decision for you. Should be generated up here between the two ears. That's how the decision should have got made. But people saw your weakness or saw your lack of development, and they put money on the table that we've never experienced and seen before in one location, in one room, and it just blows our mind. And people work hard, and they get to out of the scholarship and get a chance to get drafted by the pros, and they get it, and what? Everything changes. Friends that you used to have, we mentioned it before, they may not be as close friends because they're not going to be a plus, they're going to be a minus. And that's what happens when you figure out something about this thing called life. You know how to make decisions that's going to be a betterment, an improvement. It's not emotional. It's not woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, it's not we go way back type of talk. That was then. This is now. Big difference. And I have to act like it. You know? They can have children. You got people around them that's influencing them. You got people that you call on your friend. They're influencing them. And it's not a good influence. It's not going to be a, and it's not a plus. And it's not talking about strength. It is not talking about looking down the road and formulating what you want your life to look like and be like. It's get rich quick. It's how you like me now. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that because that's the message that's out there now. Braggadocious type approach to life rather than what the prayer says, the prayer of serenity. You call on God, grant me, bless me, help me, let me be qualified to receive A, B, C, and D. Because once I get A, B, C, and D, then I, first of all, know the difference between this and that. But also, I help to make the world a better world. Because I've been blessed, now I'm obligated to do more in that area of expertise or in that area of need. The world is suffering greatly now, even to the point of the weather. It's unpredictable. I had a beautiful day here in Raleigh, North Carolina today. People debating, well, are we going to have a winter? Is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? Then you look at places where you don't get snow and stuff. It comes. Floods and everything. It's just, man, it's just himself immediately says global warming and I've messed up the ecosystem and on and on and on. Not to the point that it can't be restored. Or whatever comes up, we got a whole galaxies upon galaxies, you know. We just need to find a place like Earth. But that's not my conversation. My conversation is that the sign of the times is being written. Are we keeping abreast of it? Plugging in and staying current and staying on top of what we need to be able to do the things that the world needs to be get done. And one of the things that needs to be done that we're way behind on is doing things for ourselves. We can't seem to get together and work together and present a united front like other cultures and races. We know why, but we're not necessarily looking at how we're going to fix that so that it's not a problem for the coming generations. If they'll see that we're not in the day late dollar short anymore, we're not playing catch up, we're not robbing from Peter to pay Paul. So until we can stop doing that, and like they say, stop the bleeding, really not be divided and conquered. I like you enough, I respect you enough to do business with you, and we can have the same success as the Jeff Bezos and the Elon Musk and et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's not the market. That's not the goal. See? Hear the word goal, G-O-A-L and G-O-L-D. We go for the gold, but the real goal is a united front, is in the ability to tell people our story, our position, and accumulate along the way, but not let the wealth contribute to who we are. Our roots, where we came from, where we overcame, what we're able to establish in the world, that there is a God, there is a creator, and he's a just, fair God. He answers prayers, and he wants nothing but the best for us as human beings. Get this miraculous thing that he's done in our lives, and let us share this with the people, that this is what God does when we do what God asks us to do, or when we even had something done to us that wasn't fair, that wasn't just. We qualify in a way that other people don't qualify, as long as we continue to act like the people who are grateful and obedient as a result to asking and then receiving Allah's blessings for our past history, slavery USA style. You know, and look at us now. But look at the future we'll have if we get things in place and work together, because I have something that you don't have, you have something that I don't have, and we put it together, and it's just like we have it now. We have the missing link, and we can put it in place, and instead of asking or wanting people to accept us and acknowledge us and recognize us, we get it by our track record. We get it by our commitment to bettering the world and the society and not letting it fall victim to where it did before, to where one people thought they were so better than another people that they did the things that they did to people of color, and especially us as African Americans, or whatever the title we have chosen. We were denigrated and just disassembled greater than anybody else. Now, we can have a pity party about it and have the, you know, bring out the victim song, or we could step up and receive the blessing that comes when people have went through what we went through. We saw it in Arabia with the Quraysh and with the Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet of God, to bring the final message. What qualified them to get it? The Jahiliyyah type of life that they were living. Who better suited to take the message than someone who's suffering from not knowing the message? Who better grateful than someone who's like that? And you saw it again with Moses and the Jews and on and on and on. Now it becomes a chance for us. But it doesn't come to us, stay with us as a covenant if we stop qualifying. Allah is good and He only accepts good. Some of the things that we're doing, the way that we're doing them and justifying doing them, is not right. It is more hurtful and harmful to our soul than it is to other people. When you and I think somebody owes us something, we're not going to act in a righteous way. Have a value and a price tag. And the reward or the benefit that comes to a people who had that happen cannot come from man or to man. It can't. You don't know how to say, this mule in 40 acres, that's not going to do one life. You know, so when you tell the oppressor, okay, you know, we stopped counting X amount of million and do, and, you know, we did this and that, and you lay the five things that shouldn't be taken from man because they don't have taken by man or from another man. You can't put a price tag on it. So you take it out of man's hands and you let the Creator say, okay, this happened, so therefore, and it will happen. And just like the ones that were in the past that got it. They got the blessing from God. In God we trust. God bless America. Bless our experiment over here. And you saw the blessing. And you see us the way that it all is beginning to fall. Major institutions. Safety on just in the streets. People murdering and killing. And when you hear why they're doing it, it's unbelievable. But you have a society, you have a culture that produce warped-minded people who are capable of ungodly-like things. So wouldn't it be good to be a part of a project and a plan that addresses that? And you can be able to say, in my lifetime, we did this to make the streets safe again, to help people with those kind of thoughts, to help people be resurrected, born again, introduced to a truth that is medicinal for the soul and the spirit and the mind. So when those thoughts come into your mind and you ignore your soul and ignore your conscience and do these things and feel no regret. See? Wouldn't it be nice to help somebody heal their sin-sick soul? That's what they said Jesus did. And he told them, heal this. I'm not that kind of doctor. So that's wisdom there. The soul, the spirit, the mind. It just don't take any kind of diet or any kind of thing to stay healthy. You can't mistake some of the stuff that they're giving us because it's not healthy, and we take it anyway because it tastes good. You know, the amount of salt and sugar that they put in the food is just unbelievable. We used to be conscious of reading that label, and when in doubt, do without. Or when the actual food had a high concentration of salt or sugar, you know, that's the handwriting on the wall. It's going to make me pay the price later on. If I get on a diet or eating stuff with this kind of content, next thing you know, I'm going to have high blood pressure. And that's what they're going to tell me. Get off of the stuff that's giving you a high intake of sodium, which is supposed to be salt, but it's not. You know, the best form of salt is what? You know, it's not going to go into all that. But that's what's happening. The things that we're doing is robbing us of our health. And still, we still do it. Because it's being packaged and marketed in a way that we're being told subtly, subliminally, yeah, but you can't live without it. Yeah, it's this steak or this way we're going to fix this or this stuff that we're going to put on this, the ingredients we're going to put in this, it's to die for. And they do that with almost everything. They make you believe that it's just, you got to have it. And if you don't have it, you're missing out on key things in life. So that's not the case. But it will feel like it's the case if we don't do something about it to reclaim our life, redirect our lives. That's what will happen. So that's the choice. That's the handwriting on the wall. You know, do we take it serious? Do we start where we need to start? It begins with us first. Individually, I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about collectively yet. The individual needs to look at themselves in the mirror and say, can I make some improvements? Can I do better? Have I gotten my life in order where I'm upright? I'm ready to face some of the challenges that may be coming down the road. What am I going to do if this happens or that happens? And there's a lot of people that when it happens, they caught off guard. It's supposed to be like that. It's not a matter of damned if we do and damned if we don't. That's the way it looks when we don't manage it like we should, when we don't stay on top of things like we should. The value that prayer should have in our life is the value that was given to us by the Creator in His book, in His word. If it's not, then we're going to be guilty of making up prayer instead of establishing prayer. Once you see the difference between the two, there's no comparison. But once we start making excuses or just out and out forgetting, then we don't even come close to what we need to have to do what we need to do on a consistent basis. So things will come up, and even though it's not intentional, spending more time and getting more excited about that than we are about the things that we should after having claimed that we're Muslims. And we have to look at that and see if that's true or not. It's not me judging you. It's me inviting you and myself to look at us presently and see why the conditions haven't improved and what is missing in is the missing link in the world. Someone who's a role model to say enough is enough. There's some things available that we don't know about or we've been misinformed about. And the ones who are practicing and living and trying to and are benefiting from this great religion, then we need to step up and share with the other people what we know to be the truth. And then let Allah take care of the rest of it. Because that's the way it works. Once we do that, and for the right reason, and with the right kind of people, then the results came. We had it when Imam Muhammad was here. We had it when his father was doing whatever. You know, may Allah forgive him, sin and grant him paradise. And now, in their absence, they left the kind of transitory leadership or knowledge of to get the same kind of results now, or even more, really, because we know now the book, the life example, and the sunnah of the prophet. And then we know how to take that same thing that's maybe a little intimidating to people because maybe the Arabic or whatever is causing them to pause and say, well, this is what that same thing said as close as we can come or as a sort of a bridge to get you across to the other side. This is what that said in English. This is what this means in English. You know, because you always lose something in the translation. So you say, "With to the best of my understanding, this is what it is." And so that's the part of the plan. Step back, look at things, assess things, and see where you fit in on that plan. And then make your presence known. That's what's needed right now. That's what's being called on for us to do. Now look at the present set of circumstances, but look at the need on the part of people to have direction in their life, orientation in their life, the right kind of logic in their life. We're missing out on so many things because we just don't know that we don't know. But we're acting like we do know. And that's a recipe for failure. And it gets frustrated when you do something and it doesn't come out quite like you thought. In fact, it comes out completely opposite than what we thought. You know, the different movements that are happening in this society today as it relates to the male-female relationship is just, I mean, I thought some of the things that I see on TV now, I thought I would never see. Openly play of that thing and saying, the world is okay with it. They said it's legal. It's not moral, but it's legal. And we're going to move forward with it full steam ahead. And we want you all to treat us like we're equal. And I'm saying, you can't do wrong and get treated like you say you need to want to be treated. You can't introduce foreign and objectionable behavior and expect it to get accepted with warm arms. And you can't claim that the law and put the law on your side to allow you to do things that Scripture and God say you can't do. Because it's not only it's not right, ungrateful. You're being ungrateful to say I'm better situated now that I've transitioned to what I really was supposed to be. How bold is that to tell the Creator, thank you very much, but no thank you. I got it worked out now. To even approach after you see the excellence that's in the human being and to overcome hardships and to right the system and right the ship and live a perfect, natural, and normal life. How about that be the appealing thing rather than you demanding the rights to do whatever you want to do? And when it comes to certain things, you think that I've been trapped this way. I'm liberating myself, and I'm getting on with my life the way that I think I should, based on what I've been having this urge and this impulse to do. And now it's grown big enough to where I'm actually going to do it. And I want you to accept it. And if you don't, and you make uncomfortable sexual or racial complaints, I'm going to involve the system and make it known, you know, that this is a hate crime or this is that. It really has to be looked at by us as a society and those as individuals who are saying that. And there's a conversation, because obviously there's a level of confusion going on. And it's not going to stop. People are willing to talk about it in an honest, open way. It's not, as we mentioned earlier, it's not going to be easy, because it was work to get you there, and it's going to take work to get you out of there. But the people who are born for that challenge, if they step up and recognize and take that challenge and accept that, hey, let's talk, and you'll see that what's going on and what's happening with the people can be corrected by them. You know, that's what leadership does. It meets you where you are and leads you where you want to go. Mission accomplished. It's not us condemning and defining, you know. There's some people who are truly confused, and they don't know that they're confused, and they don't get talked to like they're confused, and they don't get invited to look at the confusion and then consciously make a decision after you've been educated or you had your awareness lifted. Because to not have that is almost, it's just like being intoxicated. You're drunk with your confusion. You're drunk with the pain and hurt that you're suffering. And you are just like being under the influence of alcohol. Your confusion, your hurt, someone feeding that confusion and hurt is what's talking now. There's no way that you can logically think that you're going to do better than the Creator with you. Everything in you is designed to help you be your best you, male or female, and you say, no, I'm going to go to the doctor and go get everything I need, change all that, and I'm going to do a better job than you got. Think about that. That's what's being said. And think about what it takes to get someone to look at that and realize that nothing could be further from the truth. And be appreciative that someone caught it before it ended like that, and you couldn't do anything about it. See, that's the bigness that has to come with almost everything we do. We have to look at it and think about it and say, wait a minute. Something's not right here. And it doesn't have to come from an outside source. If you do what we encourage you to do, soul searching, see, search your soul to see if everything is right and appropriate. Do what the philosophical meaning of this particular thing. Let your conscience be your guide. A rightly guided conscience will end that confusion. Because it's coming from a source that knows the root of the problem, the cause of the problem. And it's undeniable, because by nature, you know better. You won't feel good about being able to do that, same sex. That won't appeal. Just the mere thought of it, the mere conversation about it. We're heterosexual, you know. not homo. See, and use those kind of words, then you're gonna see how there's a problem and what the solution is. And you're gonna see that responsibility to, once you know right, then you are obligated to do right. There's no way around it. And that doesn't just apply to as we say, those people. That applies to people in general, you know. Wrong is righted by what's right. Power of the truth, and it rights what's wrong. It addresses what's wrong, you know, in a way that it stops being the problem. It stops being the reality. And it's welcome back into our lives because, as it mentioned in the prayer again, we welcome back peace. It brings a certain joy to be at peace with yourself, to really like yourself, be comfortable in your own skin, and go forth in the world, go out in this big old scary world, and not be intimidated because you're here with your purpose in hand and you're moving thing called life, and you're making the necessary adjustments and connections to be, you know, urbanly said, living large and in charge of your life. Not my life, your life. And unconcerned about how your life impacts with my life. You know, I'm not trying to live up with the Joneses. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm not looking at other people and wishing that was me. I'm not jealous. I'm not envious. See, when we can say that and really mean that, then it means we got our life back in our hands again. We're managing our affairs, which is, like I said before, they're highly promoting that now. Because of what I'm saying is forcing them to say what they're saying. Forcing them to talk about something that wasn't on the agenda until we started talking about it. What do I mean by I say we? The righteous people, the righteous human beings. This has its origin over here, I guess you could say. We are the ones who have been anointed, been chosen, if I can use those words. But the choice doesn't stay there if we don't keep up the mission and act like it's not about material wealth. It's not why we were given it. That will come with it, but it's not, it can't be the main focus. And sometimes if we listen to ourselves carefully, we're making it the main focus. Doesn't make us bad, but it does make us join in the crowd of people who are being misguided. One of the ways that you can determine that it's not the main focus, we don't take any of it with us. We came from the earth, we go back to the earth. Is that? No, the other part of us, of our being, goes on for judgment to the afterlife, and, you know, all of the stuff that we don't know, we don't see, we can't explain. We do our best to let people know there's something after life. But how good of a job we do, that's another thing. Because it's not something that you can just roll out and show somebody. But we get a sense that there has to be, and we can best describe what it's like in metaphysical terms or metaphysical examination. And that's what we should do. And when we do it, we don't have to keep doing it over and over and over. And every time we look around, someone's resisting and they're fighting. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? What about if you, though, towards me with answering questions that you need to answer for yourself? That's what's so key. If you really are concerned, if you really want to know, do your due diligence and find out from the sources that will help you to know. And the people who've already done what you needed to do can help you with what you need to do. And it ends the confusion on the part of so many people. Because once you recognize you're confused, then you also begin to recognize what you need to do to eliminate the confusion. Responsibility and accountability. Whether we're responsible and accountable, we're going to be held accountable for that. We're going to have to be told you didn't act responsible, and now you can't claim that you were you're going to be judged because you didn't do it. You weren't accountable. You never considered yourself being the problem. You believe and want others to believe that it was all about them. And when it was all about me, it was because I'm this and I'm that. That's not the role of the believer. Our attitude of gratitude is the role of the believer. And once we become a sincere believer, then that's the attitude that we take. There's no big argument and fight about this. If I'm on a card with the Creator, you know, His book, His word, His will, His way, and the work I need to do, when I talk to somebody else who's similarly yoked, the conversation is going to go smoothly, and they're going to identify that I'm right there on track with them because that's where they're coming from. And then the fun begins. The adventure begins because, like I said before, it's work. And if it was easy, everybody would do it, but it's not. It requires giving of our time to the cause that we believe in. And then the results will come. We don't have to wait for the numbers. It may not be big numbers. It doesn't take big numbers. I decided, you decided, that whatever difference you can make, you're going to do it. So you're part of this effort. And it's not based on whether it's going to get you rich or how many people come. No. We talked about it, you know, the content and the context is important. If we're doing that, and we keep doing that, and then the results will come. And believing like that is what will keep you doing it. Because first of all, it's not about you. It's not about trying to put some money in my pocket. No, I'm trying to put some content out there that people can partake of and get their life back. Not come thanking me or praising me, no. I'm only trying to do for you what's been done for me and then obligated for you to do the same thing for somebody else. That's how this thing grows. And that's how we outwork the enemy. That's how we win the war. You know? Because the arrogance on the part of the enemy, the devilish, and devilish people, is they're so arrogant, they think they can become so powerful that you can't free the masses. They'll always be in my grip. And they think like that, and they think that everybody's got a price and everybody will give in, and, you know, once I jangle it in front of your face, then you're going to succumb. And everything you're saying there, all the good talk you're doing, you're gonna give in. And the more you think you can do that and prove that to the Creator, the more you can say, "See, look at your Khalifa, look at your believer now. Look how low he's dropped, or look how low she's dropped, or look at what the community is doing." No matter how you frame it or phrase it. It's the same thing. Are we doing what we need to do to enjoy and gain the results that we're looking for? Considering the leadership that we had. We talked about both leaders. Each, to me, I woke up in the Nation of Islam. But I didn't get up and try to get in a position to make a change and to leave a lasting legacy until the leadership of Imam Wafdi Muhammad. That's the fact. That's the truth. I can't change it. I'm not going to apologize because of it. And I'm going to continue to try to move forward with it. Like, it's a belief of mine. And I'm not looking at who's following or who's doing what. My job is to stay ready, convinced as I am and competent as I try to be to, like I said before, bring the content in the context. Don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But I do know this here. It's a different time. And a lot of this technology and information age should be utilized by the people who say, I believe in God. I believe in his book. I believe in his prophet and messenger. And I take my position to try to make the world a better place from that. And starting with ourselves, the individual. You know? The building will come later if the individual is built up. You'll be the temple. That was the scripture before us. They call this body a temple to make us have regard for it, a sacred regard for it. Certain things that we just shouldn't do. We shouldn't expose it to. We shouldn't experiment with it like that. And today it is, I as a male, it's very challenging. There's a lot of temptation out there. And I would be lying if I said it's not true. But like I said before, the things that are coming up to help us to get past that period, to know that whatever's being offered cannot even come close to comparing to what you receive if you don't get caught up in that. Money, madness, and mayhem, and you name it. But also, right there, peeking his head like a little blade of grass or little leaf coming out of the soil because its seed is falling down in there and it's growing now and it's coming out in the water and the rain and the snow, in the sun. It's causing it to grow. And it's going to grow and then get up and do what it do. And that's the picture that I see and scripture paints for us to show us you're on the right path. Now rise and shine. Get on and put your best foot forward. And keep looking and turning to the Creator for the necessary knowledge and wisdom to get the job done. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm doing. That's what's been working for me. That's what I believe in. That's what I trust in. And yeah, it's a lot of, it's uphill, you know. It's a lot of going, it's going on, like I said before. And it can be confusing. It can be test us right to the core. But what it shouldn't be able to do is make us give up. I don't know. Only Allah knows. You know? And that prayer that when come the help of Allah? When do the ease come? Bring them out. Al-usri yusuf. The way that word is said, they're right there together. One moves the other one to the next level. And when you get prepared and like Malcolm used to tell us, asking for less problems, ask for more skills. We can always complain about the problems, but if you become, if we become a whiner or a complainer, then we know we'll be a winner. We deny ourselves winning because we're complaining too much. We're whining too much. And the same is true for the victory. If you become a victim, you won't get the victory. The test or the testimony. If you don't pass the test, you won't get the testimony to give. You won't be able to see how this negative thing was turned into a positive thing. It won't happen. But we need to do what we need to do for that to happen. It's a transition. And it's a transaction at the same time. Case in point, we go to these nickel and dime jobs, we work our hours, and we get paid. That's the transition, time for money. Give me some of your time, 40 hours of it, 80 hours of it, whatever, and I will give you some money. But because time is so valuable, usually we're not going to get paid a portion of our time. Because if you look at what happens immediately once you get your check, you look at it and you see that they've already taken the money out for taxes and whatever else they think needs to be done. And then our game, our plan is then we go and file taxes and hopefully get some back because they took our money all year and they use it for whatever they want to use it for. And then they say, okay, now we give you your turn to use that same money. Maybe, if you qualify. And if you don't know how to say, how about I don't work so hard to get money at the end of the year. How about I take my money now and put it to work and invest it? And then if I owe you something for doing that, because my money has getting a return on the investment, I can do that. That's a better system than trying to get money, trying to come up with items that allow you to get money that can, that are, you know, non-deductible, I mean, deductible items that are, you know, taxable and all that. And you can write it up and write it off and get good at that. No, the other one is you put your money in your hands. You believe in yourself to be able to do A, B, C, and D, and you do it. And this taxes back to the government is not a problem because you have accumulated the amount of money to where taxes is just what happens because you accumulated that level of money. But the goal is back to what we said before, an affordable lifestyle. So what happens when you say that? What happens when you do that? You don't let money dominate you. You dominate the money. You manage the money. You pursue the money to get what you want from the money. And when we do that, then success follows after that. And we make the mistake sometimes thinking that the money did it. No, our thinking about the money did it. That valuable thing called thinking, running the thing through the process till it gets all the way to the front. Now it's ready to be processed and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to make in-flight adjustments as I do it. It's not locked in stone. It's going to be what changes as I go along. Because what happens? It changes. There's a term when you get the range of motion. What does that mean? The fullness, the extent, the width, the breadth has now become not just a capacity, it's become a capability. Your range of motion has changed. You can extend this arm out. You can do things with it, you know? And that's the same thing with the thinking. If you think in nickel and dime, that's where you're going to stay. I had an experience when I was in Arizona, Phoenix, when I was feeding for these, what do you call, snowbirds. And I was asking the lady when she called, she told me what to do for the house, get it ready for them when they came. They were snowbirds. and we was comparing the weather. No, she asked me about the weather. How's the weather there? Is it getting, is it, yes, yeah, it's so many degrees, and it's nice, you know. It wasn't hot, just nice weather, nice warm weather. And I said, wow, if I could take a jar of that and send some of that back to you, I could make a lot of money. I said hundreds of dollars. He said, no, millions. So what does that say to me? You're not thinking big enough. Not greedy, but the bigger the endeavor, the bigger the thinking process has to be. Because once you get that, then you can do this and this and this and this and this. Philanthropy, scholarships, yeah, the lifestyle that you want, helping people who are less fortunate, on and on and on. You decide what the project's going to be and the type of money or whatever or donation you have to make. But we position ourselves to do that, and that's what is should be the appeal, what should make it attractive. That's really what money and the proper usage of it is all about. And that's really when Allah will bless you, or when Allah blesses you with that type of wealth, is where you go right away with it. And the people who have it, they understand it. Who have it and have that understanding that I'm talking about, that mindset that I'm talking about, that it can buy this and it can do this, but it can do this. And how I feel when I do that, massaging the soul, it's like giving the heart what it needs to pump and beat and stay strong. Because you see the smile, the joy, the benefit that's come to the people that you're trying to help. And if they're smart and you're smart, all the praise will go to the Creator. All the praise will go to God. Keeps me from people giving me all the flattery and attention. I direct it. Who is really responsible? I took his resources. I took the heart that I had, and I gave to the people who are needy. Who establishes that type of thinking? It wasn't me. I came into a world where the thinking was already there. And then I what? Adopted it. I used it as my inheritance. It was here waiting on me to come. When I got here, I saw the value of it, and I put it in my arsenal. Put it on my list of things to do and be. And once you stay closely connected to that, that's the way it'll happen. Charity. Okay. And what comes with it, the barakah, the blessing that comes as a result of your charity. Not just the zakat that you pay. Entity, another category. But it's all designed by Allah, our Creator. And what He wants us to do is to pick up on the design and see it as a prize, see it as an inheritance, and see the wonderful things we can do with it. And then praise Him for doing it. That's our protection. That's the cautionary note, so we won't get drunk. Look what I did. Look what I'm doing. Look how big of a difference I'm making. That's not the spirit. That's not the thinking. Where did we get that from? It wasn't from the Creator. So we have to check it. Because once we get in a position to do those wonderful things, we can get a little tipsy. And we can think it's all about us, because the praise is being directed on us, like we're doing these wonderful things. We built the school, we built the thing, we financed this, we did that. All in the name of Allah, all in the name of this religion that helps us to understand that that's what you're supposed to do with your fellow man. And it's not being practiced now, so it's hard to see it because it's not that many people doing it. And when they are doing it sincerely, they do stick out. They're noticed. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they say, people get welfare mentality, help them, and they won't do nothing then. It's not for us to make that decision. They come before the Creator. We come before the Creator. I didn't help them because I thought they were going to get lazy. I thought it would, not be a good idea. Do it and then find out. Don't get in your head making decisions based on what you think about this creature that's created by the Creator. We really don't know the magnitude of the human being because we didn't create the human being. And when we see behavior that we don't find acceptable or worthy to us, then we make a judgment call. And most of the time, it's wrong. We misjudge these people. We misjudge, what they really did or really are doing. And we look at the one thing that they're not doing, and we say, not going to work. Not good. So we have to what? Live and learn. And part of living is learning is accepting. I'm not there yet. Each and every day, I'm trying to get closer. And because of the magnitude of what it is, I may not get all the way there. Not a problem. But the way that you'll be remembered for the effort that we make to try to get there, don't give up on trying to get there. All the way to the end. Make it or not. Doesn't matter. Did we take it on like it could be doable? And then when we did it and it became doable, praise be to Allah. Because we were getting blessed all the way, all the long time that we were doing it. And even though it didn't seem like it was going to work, when it began to work, there's no feeling like that. Nothing can replace the joy that will come when you accept the challenge of being a servant to the Creator, the Arabic Abdullah. It says it sounds dignified. So you can see the richness of the language and the wealth and richness that it gives to those who are trying to participate on the highest level, on the best level. Not just trying to be good, not just trying to be average. We're trying to be extraordinary. We're trying to be exceptional without no perfection, just executing with excellence and making our thoughts big enough to have to be worked out in the lifetime of the individual. That's something to think about. Goals and dreams are never ending. When we start just letting our imagination run free and we don't develop that goal and dream, we don't have a plan to reach the goal and the dream, then we just wishful thinking. And it doesn't work. So we have to realize that sometimes. We have to look at Mission Impossible is not the goal. Ask for something that you know you can't possibly achieve or have any interest, but you sound good saying it, or you sound good when you tell people, I'm going, find something that's really you, begin to put it into place. Once you get it down the line to where you recognize and other people recognize that it's worthy, then make it to where you want it to, and then leave the rest for your future generations. That's the plan. That's the way it goes. That's what's done. And when we do it, we join the ranks of those who are doing it. Okay, 833, let you come in and take us on home. We got about a minute 16. Let me see if I can get over here to that. So state your name, where you're calling from, whatever question or comment.
Yes, is Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. This is Mark Shahid from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. As I listen in, boy, you covered a variety of topics in your Al-Islam-based conversation. Just wanted to make a comment, you know, from the very beginning in terms of, you know, looking at marriage, which is happened to be a special interest that I actually have in the sacred institution of marriage. As you say, you have to work to get married. You have to work to stay married, work against being divorced and all of this. Well, that word work, if it's worth obtaining real knowledge, if it's worth obtaining real knowledge, if it's worth obtaining real knowledge, it's going to be work, you know, in that. And one of the things that's very, very important, I'd like to say, is that this is the property of Almighty God, Allah. Whatever it is Allah has created, or whatever it is that Allah has established, He's the rightful owner of it. And there's a system of knowledge that comes along with that. Very, very important, you know. So just wanted to make a comment on that in terms of marriage. There's a system of knowledge. And when you look at that word system, you can save yourself significant time, energy, and money when you know the system of knowledge, a body of knowledge that accompanies the sacred institution of marriage. So just want to say that. I've enjoyed our Islam-based conversation. Want to say to our radio listeners that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow we will have the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest instructor, Abdul Shahid, St. Thomas specialist on the science of your health and you learning lab. That starts each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The science of your health and you learning lab. You want to bring your pens and pad to that learning lab. A lot of great information, and make sure that you invite somebody, family, friend, colleague, or maybe a neighbor or a community member. So Wednesday, it is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slaudine. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, as we host the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach about correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. You don't want to miss that. It starts each and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we want you to know that following that is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid. As I always have, very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam Muhammad, outside of the community, but also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And it begins each and every Wednesday night after the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Thursday, it's the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That would be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Yes, it is Quran Shakir out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And she joins, once again, yours truly, Mark Shahid, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim Worldwide, for But those who are immobilized who can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, out of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. However, this Friday, he will be in the Gateway City of St. Louis for the Awards and Recognition Marriage Conference to be held in St. Louis. So you very well may be getting that conference cookbar that he will be delivering in the Gateway City. And that will start here. It will be 2 p.m. Eastern. It will be 1 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I mean, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. So please tune in for that. And Sunday, the longest running production on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Once again, with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. And it always happens each and every Sunday afternoon. Even though you might be traveling, you're generally always going to get it at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And that brings us back to tonight. You just heard it live here on IWDM Radio. The very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, ABC, Al Islam-based conversation. Hope you took some great notes tonight and just absorb all the knowledge and wisdom and insight with Imam Nazim Pasha. It happens each and every Monday night, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Pacific Coast. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I want to say to our radio listening audience that stay tuned for all these productions as we get close to the blessed month of Ramadan, the visitor that we all are expecting later this month, that some of the evening programs will change the time to be able to accommodate you so that you'll be able to break your fast on time, make the Salat de Maghrib, and spend the iftar with family, friends, or the community. So stay tuned for that. Last but not least, we ask that you do continue to support the lifeblood of our community, which is the Muslim Journal. Keep your subscription, which is a prescription, up. And if you have the wherewithal to make it a gift to a family member, a friend, a colleague, maybe a neighbor, maybe a pioneer in your community, or just maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal, we ask you to do so. So with that, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. It's back to you, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Assalamualaikum, Brother Morgan. Thank you very much for the information there. We're going to get it documented so we can transfer it ourselves. But it's always good to know that others are working with this effort and contributing in their particular fashion and things. So we're going to close out with that, and thank you once again for your participation. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate that you were spending with us. And we look forward to being with you again, as he said, next Monday, as we near the Muslim holiday of, or not holiday, it's the season of fasting. And, well, it's definitely a great benefit. And maybe if it's just 1 or 2 days that people are going to fast who not Muslims, we invite y'all to be a part of it in that way. But everything in this month increases and improves, and behavior, et cetera, you name it, and it gets better. And people are glad to see it go, come, and hate to see it go. And some people are happy to see it come and happy to see it leave. But whatever the case, it gives benefit to those who are seeking it. And that's what I'm going to be doing and trying to inspire others to do the same. So we thank you again. We greet you in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And we say this is it for tonight. See you again, same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum.